So we're up to Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, the fifth line. So the Mishnah said, Hayu lefanav min in harbe. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah yesterday. If you have multiple foods in front of you, according to Reb Yehuda, if one of those foods is from the Shivas Haminim, that takes precedence. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you just make the bracha on whichever one you want first. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula, machlokas bishabircho sehen shavus. That machlokas between Reb Yehuda and the Chachamim was talking about a case where the two foods in front of you have the same bracha. So for example, you have grapes and apples, right? So one is the Shivas Haminim, but they're both ha'eitz. The Reb Yehuda savar min shiva adif, for Rabbanan Savre min chaviv adif, where Reb Yehuda tells you, make the bracha on the grapes because it's one of the Shivas Haminim, whereas the Chacham say, make the bracha on whichever one you want. Aval b'she'in birchosei an shavos, divrei akol mevarech alzev v'chozer mevarech alzev. But if you have two foods that have different brachos, let's say you have grapes and cucumbers, then everyone agrees you have to make two separate brachos. So ask the Gemara Meisvei, ha'yulefan of tznon v'zayis. Let's say you have a dish.
You have to make two separate brachos, but...
Well, what's the order? Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. We'll see. So the Gemara says, Ha'yulufan etznon v'zayis. If a person has, let's say, radishes and olives, so those are two separate brachas. That's Hadama and Ha'etz. So mevarech al etznon ufoter es azayis. This Gemara says, I can make a bracha on the radish and thereby exempt the olives. So how does that make any sense? Didn't we just say, if you have two separate brachas, you have to make both Ha'etz and Hadama? So the Gemara says, no. Hacha b'mayaskinan kishahatznon ikr. When the radish is the primary dish, let's say I have a dish that's mixed together with radishes and olives. It's basically a salad. So let's say the radish is the primary ingredient. So then making the hadam on the radish will cover the olive. So the Gemara says, well, hang on a second. Ihachi, if that's true, ima seifa, Rabbi Yehuda omer, mevarech al azayis, shahazayis mimin shiva. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Because remember, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was the one who said, you always have to make the bracha on the shiva saminim, right? Shiva saminim always takes precedence. The problem is, the Gemara asks, leis leilu Rabbi Yehuda hadisnan, kol shehu ikr v'imo tefela, mevarech al ikr ufoter es atfela. Does that mean to say that Rabbi Yehuda denies the principle of ikr v'tafel? It's an explicit Mishnah later on, daf mem dalet, that everybody seems to subscribe to, that when he have two things, and one of them is the ikr, you make the bracha on the ikr. So the Gemara says, v'chite mahachanami, the leislei, maybe he'll tell me, yes, Rabbi Yehuda denies the principle of ikr v'tafel. But the Gemara says, that can't be, v'hasanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer, im machmas tznon ba'azayis, mevarech ala tznon ufoter es azayis. Rabbi Yehuda says explicitly, if the olive is only being put into your salad to enhance the radishes, meaning the radish is the main part of the dish, then you just make the bracha on the radish and that covers the olive. So again, even Rabbi Yehuda buys into the concept of ikr v'tafel. So how could Rabbi Yehuda claim that you just make the bracha on the radish and cover, that you just make the bracha on the olive if it's not the main part of the dish? Gemara says no. La'olam b'tznon ikr askin. And really, the case is where the radish is the primary ingredient. V'chi pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'rabanan b'milsa achariti pligi. They were arguing about something completely different. V'chasuri mechasra v'hachikhan. The Mishnah was missing a line. In fact, as we'll see, there's really no chiddush at all in this Gemara. It's just that we thought they were arguing about this very novel case where there's two separate brachos. We'll see in the conclusion of the Gemara that that's not at all the case. So what was the case they were arguing about? Hayu lefanav tznon v'zayis mevarech al tznon ufoter es azayis. We said that if you have radishes and olives, so again, assuming that the radish is primary, you make the bracha on the radish and that covers the olive. But medvarim amurim kishahat tznon ikr. That's only true when the radish is the main ingredient. Aval einat tznon ikr divrei akol mevarech alzev v'chozer umevarech alzev. But if the radish is not the main ingredient, in other words, if neither of them are the main one, then you make a bracha on both the olive and the radish. However, the Gemara says, "Ushneim minin ba'alma shebir chosehen shavos mevarich al eze mehen sheyirta." According to the Chachamim, when you have two different foods with two different brachos, make the bracha on whichever one you want first. Because remember, the Chachamim don't give preference to the shivas aminim. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer no mevarich al azayis shehazayis mimin shiva. At the conclusion of the Gemara, there's really nothing so novel going on here. In other words, the Gemara is essentially just reframing the machlokas in the Mishnah, which is that you have to make two separate brachos. Rabbi Yehuda says, make the bracha on the shiva Saminim first, and the Chacham say, make the bracha on whichever one you want first. So again, we haven't really added anything to the Gemara at the end. Okay, now the Gemara says, Pligi bar Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. There was a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, but how to understand the machlokas in the Mishnah. Chad Amar, machlokas b'shabir chosei an shavos. This is the simplest way to understand it. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about whether we specifically give precedence to the Shiva Saminim was only talking about a case where both food items in front of me have the same bracha, namely, the Rabbi Yehuda Savar min Shiva Adif, v'Rabbanan Sa. Again, which is just what we said in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have grapes and apples, make the bracha on the grapes. According to the Chachamim, make the bracha on whichever one you want. But if I have two foods with two different brachos, so then this is version number one of understanding the machlokes. If I have two foods with two different brachos, so it seems like everyone will agree that I have have to make two separate brachos, like we said. However, v'chad omer, the other amora disagrees with this. He says, no, af v'she'in birchosei and shavus nami machlokes. This machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is even talking about a case of foods with two different brachos. So the Gemara says, well, hang on one second. Bishlam alamanda omer bisha birchosei and shavus machlokes shapir. So the first version of the Gemara makes perfect sense. I have two foods with the same bracha, so the machlokes is, do I make the bracha on the shiva saminim or on the food or on the fruit that I want first? That machlokes we understand. But el alamanda omer bisha'in birchosei and shavus plige, but my plige, but I don't understand. If I have two foods with two different brachos, how could there be a machlokas about that? Of course you have to make two separate brachos on both foods. What are they arguing about? So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Yirmiyahu lahakdim, and this gets back to what we were alluding to earlier, the machlokas is not whether you make two brachos. The question is, which of the two brachos do you make first? Which one takes precedence? The Amar Rav Yosef, the Isema Rabbi Yitzchak, kol hamukdom befasik zeh, mukdom levracha, shenemar, eretz chito, sorav, vegefen, usinav, yirimon, eretz zeh shemenu devash. Whichever fruit is written first in the pasuk regarding the Shiva Saminim takes precedence. Now, we'll see on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to clarify this statement to say that it depends on the proximity to the word Eretz, because there are two mentions of the word Eretz in the Pasuk. So, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, that, for example, even though olives are the second to last fruit mentioned in the Pasuk, but because they're the first fruit after the second Eretz, they take precedence over pretty much everything other than wheat. So, they take precedence over barley and grapes and pomegranates and figs, as we'll see. But we'll get back to that point in a little bit. Okay, so then the Gemara says, "Upliged the Rabbi Chanan." This statement, this idea that the Pasuk of the Shiva Saminim is teaching me the halacha of kedima, of which fruit takes precedence over the other, is against the statement of Rabbi Chanan. The Amar Rabbi Chanan, kol ha-pasuk kulo lishi'ure ne'emar. Rabbi Chanan had a very novel way to read this pasuk of Eretz Chita Usora, where every single fruit or grain in the pasuk is alluding to a halacha l'moshe misinai, or alluding to some halacha that has absolutely nothing to do with Hilchos Bracha. So the Gemara explains. Chita, what is the word chita teaching me? Disnan, this is the Mishnah in Meseches Negaim, ha-nichnas levayis ha-menuga. If a person walks into a house that has tsaras, and he's not wearing the clothing, but he's holding his shoes, holding a ring in his hand, holding a shirt. So then, who vehin tamei miyad? Both the person and the kalim, the clothing that he's holding, become tamei immediately upon entering the house. However, hayalavush kalav v'sandalav biraglav v'taba osav be'etzbe osav. But if he's wearing the clothing, he's wearing the shoes, wearing the garments, wearing the ring on his finger, then who tamei miyad? He himself still becomes tummy immediately. However, the hain tohorin adshe yisha b'chtei achilas pras. The clothing that he's wearing, this is a halacha l'moshe misinai. There's no like logic behind this. Become tummy once he's in the house for the length of time that it would take to eat a loaf of bread. But specifically, paschitin velo pasa oren, a loaf of wheat bread and not barley bread, and misa v'ochlan beliftan, and also wheat bread that's dipped into something. In other words, essentially, what the Gemara is saying is that when you have higher quality bread that you're using a dip with, so in other words, it's easier to digest. So that is a shorter period of time. So according to Rabbi Chanan, the word chita is teaching me this halacha regarding my clothing when I enter into a house with saras about what the time frame is for the clothing to become tummy. That's halacha number one.
Okay, so on a clock base.
What's the actual time? Right. So we usually assume that kedei achilas pras, there's a relatively wide range in the poskim. It's anywhere between 2 and 9 minutes. So that's a discussion regarding, let's say, for example, the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Right, exactly. So that's a whole question about how quickly you have to eat the matzah, or when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, if you're a chole, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. Right? What, in other words, that's why we always, if you do shiurim, you have to space them out. So this way, because if you do it over a lengthened period of time, exactly.
Yeah. Where does it bring that from?
What does it bring what from?
The
No, these are all halacha l'moshe misinai. He's saying that all of them... The fact that your clothing become tame when you're in the house... Because chita. Because the shear... Remember we said that the shear is paschitim.
Paschitim.
Remember we said that the shear...
How does that go to tzarat? How does it connect it to?
It's not... None of these fruits are connected.
No.
Well, we'll see when we get to Amud Beis. It's actually machlokas whether these are halacha l'moshe misinai or dinei d'rabbanan. We'll see that, but yeah.
Is there this pasuk that would tell you
bring in a limud? Is there an extra word?
No. Okay.
Where does this come from?
That's a fair question. Well, again, we'll see. Well, again, if it's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, you don't really need a pasuk for that. And if it's a din d'rabbanan, you also don't really need a pasuk for that. Which so.
All right. So what?
So we'll see. We'll see on Amud Beis that according to the second opinion, it's really just an asmachta. It's an asmachta. These halachos.
Sorrow from his father.
These halachos have existed regardless of the pasuk of Eretz Chita Usor. Everyone accepts these halachos. You know, regardless of whether you think it comes from the pasuk of Eretz Chita Usor. Okay.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Why do you need a pasuk?
You probably don't really need a pasuk. It could be, as we'll see on Amud Beis, the pasuk is just an asmachta. It's just an allusion to these halachos. It might not be the actual source. Okay, second halacha that we may learn from this pasuk, sa'ora, disnan, etzem ki sa'ora metame b'maga uvemasa, ve'eno metame b'ol. This is a din from Mishnah in Ahalos, that minimally, if you have a piece of flesh from a dead body, if it's the size of barley, it's metame when you touch it or carry it, but not if you're merely in the same ohel, in the same tent, in the same building as the piece of flesh. What about gefen? Kidei revi Yayin l'nazir, right? A nazir only violates, in other words, only gets malchus for violating the iser of drinking wine as a nazir if he drinks minimally a revius of wine. Te'ena, kigrogeres lahotzaas Shabbos, right? So a fig, in order for a person to be chayav for the iser of carrying on Shabbos, they need to carry minimally the size of a fig's worth of food. That's assuming that you're carrying food. It could be that for other items, the Gemara in Shabbos discusses that it may have different shiurim. What about rimon? Kidasnan submission masakas kelim. Kol klei bali batim shiuran kirimonim. So the halacha is that in order for a kli to be able to be makabel tuma, it needs to be functional, which means that if a kli, let's say, develops a hole and now it's not usable anymore, it's no longer able to become tame. The Mishnah in kelim says that that once a kli develops a hole the size of a pomegranate, it is considered unusable. That's the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and at that point, it's no longer makabel tuma. A kli could be anything. A kli could be any utensil. I mean, again, there are differences of halacha depending on the type of kli. If it's earthenware, if it's metal, if it's copper, there are a lot of differences in halacha in Tumah v'Tahara, but for the purposes of whether or not this is still halachically called a kli, once it develops a hole the size of a pomegranate, then it's no longer considered a functional kli. Okay, then we said Eretz Zeis Shemen. So Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shi'ureha Kizeisim. So in other words, the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael is praised because all of the shi'urim that we mentioned are a kizayim. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Kol Shi'ureha? But the shiurim that we just quoted a second ago are not a kezayis; they're everything but a kezayis, basically. The Gemara says, "You're right." Ela eretz shiruv shiure kezayim. The majority of the shiurim that we use in halacha, in fact, revolve around the kezayis. Okay. Then we said devash. So the Gemara says, "Kakoseves agasa biyom kippurim." Right? Devash, which is an allusion to date honey. So that is the shear of the amount of food that one, in other words, once you eat the size of a koseves agasa on Yom Kippur, you're chayav for that. The other opinion, the Gemara of Rav Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, so they, in other words, they assume that all of these halachos that we quoted are only midrabanan, and the pasuk of Eretz Chita Usora is just a remez, it's just an allusion to that halacha. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara says, Rav Chista v'Rav Hamnuna havuyasi bisuda. So they were eating a meal. Aisu l'kamayu tamrei v'rimoni. They brought out pomegranates. I'm sorry, they brought out dates and pomegranates. So shaka Rav Hamnuna baruch atamrei bereshit. So Rav Hamnuna made the bracha on the dates first. This is going to get back to the point that we just made earlier regarding the two mentions of the word eretz. So Amar le Rav Chista lo sviro le mar lahado Amar Rav Yosef isema Rav Yitzchak kol hamuktam befasik zed kodem lebracha. Don't you hold to the statement that we quoted earlier that whichever fruit is mentioned first has to come first? And if you look in the pasuk, pomegranate is technically written before a date. So he said no. Amar le zed sheni laaretz v'zecha mishi laaretz. Again, it has to do with its proximity to the word eretz. So since pomegranate is the last one after the first eretz, whereas date is only the second one after the second aretz, that one takes precedence. So Amar Lehi said, "Man yohiv la nagre the fires of love and nashm inach." If only Hashem were to give me metal legs, then I could come serve you. Meaning he was so taken aback by his brilliance, by making the statement that he asked to basically, you know, serve him and always be around him.
What happens if it's the second after each aretz?
So yeah, so if it's the same, if it's one and two, so then you would make the first one, presumably. So if it's wheat, in other words, wheat and olives, although the truth is that wheat and barley are both going to have different brachos than all the other things on the list, no matter what, because if they're raw, they're going to be hadama, and if they're cooked, they're either going to be mizonos or hamotzi, depending on what it is. Whereas everything else on the list is going to be ha'etz. So that may actually potentially affect, you know, which bracha you make first anyway. Okay, so the Gemara says, Itmar, heviu lifneim te'enim va'anovim b'so chasuda. So you're in the middle of a meal, and they bring out dessert. They bring out grapes, they bring out figs, whatever it is. So Amar Rav Huna, te'unim bracha lifneim ve'ein te'unim bracha liyachareim, v'chein Amar Rav Nachman, te'unim bracha lifneim ve'ein te'unim bracha liyachareim. So come these two Amorim and say, you have to make a bracha rishona on the figs and on, or on the grapes or whatever, but not a bracha acharona.
Whenever they mention meal,
Yeah.
They mean something where you had hamotzi or
yeah, hamotzi and you haven't benched yet. Yeah, that's what we're assuming.
Why would you make any bracha?
Okay, we're gonna explain in a second. For Rav Shisha Samar, Teunim bracha being lifnei and being liacharayim, she'in l'chadavar she'toan bracha lefano ve'in toan bracha liacharav, ela pasa babi kistin bilvat. Comes Rav Shisha and disagrees. Rav Shisha says, if you bring out grapes or figs or whatever during the meal, assuming that you haven't benched yet, you have to make a ha'itz, and you also have to make an al ha'itz, despite the fact that you're going to be benching in 5 minutes anyway. You have to make a bracha achrona. Why is that true? Because Rav Shisha claims that every type of food that you make a bracha rishona on, by definition, requires a bracha achrona, with the exception of pasa bava kistin. Right? Pasa bava kistin, as we're going to talk a lot about as the parak goes on, are basically pastry foods. They're foods that are theoretically, they're made out of the same dough material, you know, ingredients as bread, but they're sweet, they're crumbly. There's basically the issue with pasa bava kistin is that there are three opinions in the Gemara later on regarding the definition of pasa bava kistin. It can either mean something crumbly, something sweet, or something with a filler inside. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't give a clear psak about which of those definitions is the correct one. So we have to be machmir for all three. So for example, So something like a cheese Danish, raspberry, you know, like a blueberry, whatever, or let's say like a pie, right? Like an apple pie. So an apple pie is crumbly, sweet, and has a filler inside. So let's say, for example, if let's say you're having cakes and cookies for dessert, you would not make a separate mezonos on that because that's suffic pas. Because even though it's crumbly, let's say, and it's sweet, but there's no filler inside, right? So in that case, you would not make a mezonos because maybe it's covered by your hamotzi. The only time that you make a separate mezonos on dessert is if the dessert meets all three criteria. So that would be something like apple pie, you know, something which is crumbly, sweet, and has a filler. Whereas things like fruit, ice cream, candy, those kinds of things, you always make a bracha on for dessert. In general, we don't pass like Rav Sheshes in terms of bracha achrona. So we never make a bracha achrona on dessert because that's always covered by benching. Bracha rishona, unless it's like suffik pas, which is covered by hamotzi misuffik, but every other kind of dessert you have to make a bracha on as part of dessert.
Why, yeah. So you're giving us now the real halacha, correct?
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Why was I of the opinion that it was only if you didn't anticipate having that?
That's a separate thing. That's separate. That we're going to talk about also. That, in other words, if you weren't planning on food being brought in front of you, the Gemara actually on tomorrow's daf actually discusses that in more detail what the nature of that halakha is. But that's kind of a separate point as we'll see.
No, but so if I know I'm going to have apple pie for dessert.
Yeah. So then, generally speaking, that doesn't make a difference because we assume that dessert, even though there's a statement they claim that Rav Moshe Feinstein, although it's not written in print in any of his chulas, but they claim that he said that because dessert today is so prevalent and you know and everyone eats dessert, that dessert could almost become like a part of the meal today. But I think most poskim don't assume like that. Most poskim assume that even if you anticipate you're going to be eating dessert, but halakhically we don't view dessert as part of the meal. So therefore it's considered to be a separate entity, which again in certain cases will require another bracha depending on what type of food it is. Yeah.
We're talking about it. I don't have dessert in the house. My wife won't give me dessert.
Okay.
I go to a restaurant, you know, they show you the menu in advance.
You already know when you order the menu.
Well, I know if it's chocolate, I'm going to have something chocolate.
Well, a lot of times also restaurants will bring out a dessert menu separately at the end of the meal. So that's also, you know. Yeah, exactly. They definitely don't do that because of the.
But listen, okay. What if you have wine in the soda?
Say it again?
Wine in the middle of the soda.
On Shabbos and Yontif, you don't have to make a separate bracha because you already made Haggathin. If you're eating a meal in the middle of the week and you bring out wine, then you do have to make a bracha and you possibly even have to make a bracha of atova hametiv, but potentially depending.
What's the criteria for that?
For atova hametiv, that's a gemara psachim. So the simple understanding is that as long as the wine is not completely inferior quality, as long as it's like you know, I guess anything above like a Bartonura wine, pretty much, then you would make atova hametiv. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there happens to be three different opinions quoted in the Balei Atosos and Psachim about how, in other words, whether the wine that you bring out to make Atova Mita has to be better than the previous wine or the same or even lower, as long as it's not completely inferior. So we usually assume like that last opinion, if it's not totally inferior. Okay. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Upliga de Rabbi Chia." This Gemara is against Rabbi Chia. The Amar Rabbi Chia, pas poteres kol minei machal, v'yayin poter kol minei mashkim. Rabbi Chia says, "Bread exempts all brachos on food." Meaning, according to Rabbi Chia, you don't make brachos on dessert. He says, "Once you made hamotzi, it covers everything." Although again, we don't pass like that. But he also says that wine covers all drinks. This is actually that part is actually relevant. If you go to a kiddush on Shabbos morning and they make hagathen, and then you want to drink water, you don't make a shahakol on the water because it's already been covered by your hagathen. So you don't make a separate bracha on the liquids. Okay. Amar Rav Papa. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa. Hilchasa, dvarim abaye machmas asuda besoch asuda, ain't tu'unim bracha lo lifneim below le'acharim. So if something is coming during the meal, and it's a meal food, it's kugel, chicken, salad, soup, that doesn't require brachos in the beginning or end because it's covered by hamotzi and by benching. But what if it's v'shelo machmas asuda besoch asuda? So it's during the meal technically, but it's not a meal food, i.e. dessert. So then to unim bracha lifneim be'im to unim bracha le'acharon. We paskin like that other shita where you make a bracha rishona but not a bracha acharona. And if it's li'achar asuda, so then obviously to unim bracha be'im lifneim be'im li'achar. If you're eating it, once the meal's over, then obviously you have to make a bracha rishona and a bracha acharona. So the Gemara says shalu as benzoma mipneima amru dvarim habayim machmas asuda besoch asuda enim to unim bracha lo lifneim ve'lo li'achar. And why is that true? Why is it that foods that come during the meal don't require a separate bracha rishona or achrona? So he says, Amar lehem, holu pas potartam, because the hamotzi you made on the bread is covering those foods. So the Gemara says, ay, ihachi, yai, nami, niftere pas. Why don't we say that the borei pri agafen you made at the beginning of the meal should also exempt you from having to recite hamotzi? So the Gemara says, no, shiny yayin, de gorin bracha liatzmo. Wine is different. Why? Because wine requires its own bracha. Remember, we saw this in the beginning of the parak. Wine and bread are both chashuv on their own, and therefore you can't say that the wine is going to cover the bread or the bread is going to cover the wine. They're each considered their own independent brachos. Okay. Stop there.